Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Luke chapter 5, we are in a series on the Bible character Simon Peter, all right? Now, if this is your first time to the elective tonight, and I know we're down in here tonight because of everything else that's going on, but if this is your first time to join us for this study, the good news is you've only missed one lesson, all right? This is our fall series for our Bible study here on Sunday night. And so far, we have just looked at Simon Peter, his conversion. And we talked about how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Tonight, we are looking at Simon Peter, his call. We're going to look at God's calling upon his life. And you know that the main title of this whole series is called The Chaotic Journey of a Follower of Christ. And the reason why I titled that is because Peter's life was up and down. If you know anything about Simon Peter, as a matter of fact, just the combination of those two names reminds us there was a time when he was really shaky, unstable Simon, and yet Christ said, you will be a rock, a Petros, Peter. And so the combination Simon Peter always reminds us that he had his shining good moments, and then he had some moments when he really failed. Simon Peter reminds us of each one of us, right? When we study Simon Peter, we don't go, oh man, he's a real knucklehead. He really messed up a lot. No, we see ourselves in Simon Peter. But here tonight, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, and we're going to focus on God's calling upon his life. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. There's his calling. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, throughout the centuries, the fish has stood as a symbol of Christianity. Actually, in the early days of persecution, the symbol of the fish became a secret sign between Christians identifying themselves as believers in Christ. The five Greek letters that spell fish stand for Jesus, Christ, God, Son, Savior. And here you see the symbol of the fish and the Greek word for fish and how each letter represents Jesus Christ. He is God, he is God's Son, and he is the Savior. Often the symbol of a fish was painted on the walls of the catacombs. Now, if you don't know what the catacombs are, the catacombs in Rome were passages underground that were used for burial sites for Jews as well as for Christians. And here is a picture of one of those symbols that they found in the catacombs of Rome. Once again, the fish, signifying that that was a believer in Jesus Christ. By the way, four of Jesus' disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, were fishermen, and they were partners in business. One of Jesus' parables in Matthew chapter 13 likens the kingdom to what? A net which caught all kinds of fish. The feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000 had to do with what? Fish. Twice the Lord gave his disciples huge catches of fish after they had toiled all night to no avail. As a matter of fact, we're going to study that here right now in Luke chapter 5. Now, in our last lesson, we saw how Simon Peter came to know the Lord. We would call it his conversion. Make a mental note in your mind. Simon Peter had to first come to Christ before he could go for Christ, right? There's a logical progression there. We have to come to Christ before we can ever go for Christ. We must not forget that salvation always precedes service. It always precedes service. And by the way, if you're saved, you ought to be serving the Lord. In some capacity, you ought to be doing something for the cause of Christ. But first, we saw his conversion, and then here tonight, we're going to focus on his calling. I want to give you several very practical points here tonight about God's calling upon Peter's ministry. Number one, Peter's call was preceded by dedicated layman service. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. For months after his conversion, Peter alternated between traveling with Jesus and still operating his fishing business. Sometimes we think that he got saved and he immediately began to follow Jesus around everywhere he went. That was not the case. There were several months there of what we would call an interlude of time where he would go back and forth. He would go some with the Lord Jesus as he traveled and ministered, and then he would come back and he would operate his fishing business with Andrew, James, and also John. At least four events happened before Peter's call to the ministry here in Luke chapter 5. Let me give you those four. Turning the water into wine at Cana of Galilee. The chasing of the money changers out of the temple. The conversion of the Samaritan woman. The healing of the nobleman's son. All of that took place prior to what we read about here in Luke chapter 5, especially those words that we see in verse 10. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. During this time, Peter is referred to only as a disciple, but he was not yet in what we would call full-time ministry. I think we need to understand that it's not necessary to leave our job in order to become a committed follower of Jesus Christ. You can be a committed follower of Christ and serve the Lord and still be working a secular job. As a matter of fact, that's the vast majority of our church membership all across the world. It's people that hold down regular secular jobs, and yet they are what we would call true disciples. They are committed followers of Christ. Now, sometimes God calls us to quit our jobs in order to serve him in full-time ministry. Let me give you some examples of that. Brett Anderson. Brett and Katie are on deputation right now, being sent out of Canton Baptist Temple to the country of Tanzania. Before starting this whole deputation process of raising support to go to Tanzania, guess what Brett was doing? Brett was an engineer. He was trained as an engineer. He went to college to be an engineer. And then suddenly along the way in his life, a little bit later in life actually than what most people feel, the call into ministry, Brett felt very strongly that God was calling him to be a missionary. Now, I want you to know that Brett was a committed follower of Jesus Christ before he ever surrendered to God's calling upon his life. He was what I would call a true disciple. He was here and he was ministering and he was involved in the ministry here at Canton Baptist Temple. Well, just like Peter was called to leave his occupation of fishing right here in Luke chapter 5 and to yield himself to the ministry of fishing for men, Brett Anderson had to do the same thing. There came a point where Brett had to quit his job and he went at it full time. And that way he would be able to fulfill God's calling upon his life. The same is true of Josh Stewart out of our church and ministering in the country of Ireland. By the way, he and his family have just moved from Mallow, Ireland over to Tralee, Ireland. And they're going to start a brand new church over in Tralee. Guess what Josh used to do? Some of you know, he used to be a plumber. That's what he did. He was a plumber. He always talks about how it's amazing that God can take a plumber and make a missionary out of him. But there came a point where Josh had to quit his job of plumbing, and he went at it full time to be a missionary in Ireland. I think about Robert. Robert Hagee is our director of operations here at Canton Baptist Temple, and he worked at Dominion Energy for many, many years before he just could not resist the call of God to be involved in full-time ministry. The same was true for Jake, who worked at the jewelry store, or Trent, who was a teacher, I think, down in where, Tuskegee Valley, and he taught before he surrendered to become our camp director out of Camp Chauff and to work with our middle schoolers. You say, what is your point here? My point is that prior to entering into full-time ministry, there is usually a time of testing, a time of training for an individual. Such was the case with Simon Peter. Prior to his call into full-time ministry that we read about here in Luke chapter 5 tonight, Peter got a taste of what ministry was all about, and he learned some very important lessons about fishing for men. Now, I mentioned that there were at least four events that took place while Peter was still a disciple and before he was called into full-time ministry. One of those was the story about the Samaritan woman at the well in the Gospel of John chapter 4. Now, keep in mind, there was a very important lesson that Peter had to learn when it came to the Samaritan woman. Here it is. Number one, she was a woman. And a rabbi usually did not talk with a woman. And yet Jesus, who they called rabbi, he was there sitting at the well talking with the woman. The disciples were surprised. And then number two, she was a half-breed Samaritan. And the Jews would do everything possible to avoid the area of Samaria. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And yet here's Jesus, and he's sitting at the well. He's talking with a Samaritan woman. Thirdly, she was immoral. She was an immoral woman. That's three strikes. And then we read that she had been physically involved with at least six different men. Peter was learning a very important lesson, and it was this: the value of a soul. The value of one soul. If you go to the very beginning of John chapter 4, you read about how it says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. This was an important route that he was going to take. He was on a divine appointment to meet that Samaritan woman, that immoral lady there at the well, so that she would come to know him as her personal Savior. Peter was learning that Jesus loves and cares about all people. Do you realize that not only does Jesus love you, but he loves some of the worst of sinners? He loves people. Jesus loves people. And if we are going to be like Jesus, we have to love and we have to care about people. That's what Simon Peter was learning about. He then got to witness firsthand scores of people getting saved there in John chapter 4. Let me read John 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." And so Peter got to see firsthand scores of people coming to faith in Christ. And I believe seeing these Samaritans put their faith in Christ was a little bit of a foreshadowing of the massive, what I would call, fishing assignment that Peter was going to have on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. As a layperson, Peter was experiencing the success of working and serving Christ at the same time. Someone has well said, and I quote here, "The Lord doesn't usually make full-time lights out of people who fail to shine during part-time opportunities." Well, Peter was taking advantage of the part-time opportunities that the Lord was giving him. And when he was able, he was traveling with the Lord Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And God used that time as a time of testing, a time of training, a time of learning some very valuable lessons in the ministry. The story is told about a missionary who was approached by a young man at a church. And the young man came up to that missionary and said, "Someday I want to work on the mission field." That's what the young man said. And the missionary thought for a moment, and he looked at the young man, and he responded with this: "What mission work are you doing today?" In other words, what are you doing for Christ today? Are you just talking about serving the Lord sometime in the future? Or are you taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives you right now? Here's something we need to remember. God doesn't call someone into full-time ministry unless they are already serving the Lord as a layperson. If somebody comes to me and they're not doing anything at all in church and they're talking about full-time ministry, I usually say, well, you might just want to get started serving the Lord right here in your local church to begin with. You know, we need Sunday school teachers, and we need choir members and ushers and bus workers and all the different needs that exist here. God doesn't take someone doing nothing and then place them into full-time ministry. Moses was tending to his flock when he had the burning bush experience. David was watching over his sheep. Peter was a fisherman. He was a committed and a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And Christ says here in verse 10, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." In other words, your life is about to change. You have been a fisherman, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, but now I want you to become a fisher of men. Number two, Peter's call was tailor-made just for him. Peter's call was tailor-made just for him. God calls people into full-time ministry in personal and unique ways. I think about the story of an uncle of mine. It would have been my dad's brother. Uncle JT is what we called him. He passed away many years ago, and he's with the Lord now. He knew that God wanted him to be a preacher, but he ran from God's calling upon his life. In the 1920s and in the 1930s, people would go to what they called ice houses. How many of you remember ice houses? Now you're showing your age. Jim Morton, you're old, all right? He's raising his hand. They were called ice houses, and they would buy blocks of ice, and then they would take those blocks of ice home, and they would put it in their ice boxes to keep their food cold, right? That's at least why. That was before my day, Brother Jim, all right? Way before my day. Well, when Uncle JT was a young man, he worked at one of those ice houses, and his job was to cut the ice, and they would cut the ice with a big circular saw. One day, while cutting a large piece of ice, he got his hand caught in the saw and cut his index finger off. This may not be appropriate, but when I was a little boy, and you know how uncles always try to mess with their nephews, I didn't know this story that I'm telling you tonight, and I was always curious about why he was missing a finger. And I said, "Uncle JT, what happened to your finger?" He said, "I was picking my nose one night, and a booger bit it off." That's what he told me. So just thought I'd let you know, those are the memories that you never, ever forget, that your uncle tells you, all right? But Uncle JT, he was running from God's calling on his life. And he took a loss of a finger. And that really spiritually woke him up. I mean, it got his undivided attention. God said, "All right, you want to play hard, we'll play hardball." And to make a long story short, and I could tell you a lengthy story there, but he surrendered to God. He became a Southern Baptist pastor in Texas until the day that he retired. God used him in a great and a mighty way. One of the books that I have in my library that I cherish so much is a commentary by W.A. Criswell that Uncle J.T. owned. It was part of his library, and I got to keep that book. That's a side note. Now, if we were to ask Peter, how did the Lord call you into ministry? You know, everybody has a story, right? Everybody's got that personal story. Well, I believe Peter would tell you this story that we read right here in Luke chapter 5. Peter's call into full-time ministry took place at the Lake of Gennesaret. That's what we read about in verse 1. What is the Lake of Gennesaret? Well, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's also known as Lake Tiberias. And we were just there a few weeks ago, right, Brother Lewis? And what a beautiful view out the hotel window to see the Sea of Galilee. Well, that's where they are here in verse 1. From north to the south, the Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long. And from east to west, it's about 7 miles wide. Our tour guide, Malcolm, said it's sort of shaped like a pear, is what he said. It's shaped like a pear. And then it's almost 700 feet below sea level. The shores of the Sea of Galilee are dotted with towns, and the main industry is obviously what? Fishing. Fishing. Now, Jesus was where? From Nazareth. And he was a carpenter by trade. Peter was from Capernaum, and he was a fisherman by trade. Peter and his partners here, we just read about it in Luke 5, had been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. They're on the shore and they're cleaning their nets. And while they're doing that, there is a multitude of people that are pressing in upon Jesus to hear him teach. And so Jesus gets into Peter's empty boat. We're at one site that could have been that site. I don't know, Malcolm was pointing down there saying, it could have been that site there where Jesus got into Peter's boat. And then he asked Peter to thrust it out just a little bit. And there Jesus began to teach the crowd. And then after Jesus finishes teaching, he tells Peter to launch out into the deep. He said, all right, the teaching session is over. I want us to launch out into the deep and to let down your nets. Now, I love Peter's reaction in verse 5. Look at verse 5 again, Luke 5 and verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You can tell that he has mixed reaction here. He reminds Jesus that they had already been fishing all night long. It's almost as if he was saying, hey, you're a carpenter and I'm a fisherman. When it comes to fishing, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this a long time, and I want you to know that I don't think this idea is going to work. I've been out all night. We didn't catch any fish. The idea of going back out doesn't sound like a good one, but I'm willing to give it a try. He says here, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter found out that what the Lord says may not always make logical sense, but it always works. I think about Brett and Katie Anderson again, giving up a good paying job. He was an engineer, and he went from that to zero. And said, all right, all you've got now is the support of Canton Baptist Temple, and we'll help you all that we can do. We will do it to help you raise your support and get to the field. You know what? Logically, humanly speaking, Brett's friends there at the engineering firm said, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when God tells you to do something, even though it may not make logical sense, at the end, it always works. Because suddenly, notice the net was full of fish, right? It was full of fish, so much so that the net began to break. And Peter had to call James and John to come and help. And there were so many fish that both boats were about to sink. And when Peter saw what happened, he knew right then and there that Jesus had performed a miracle. He had been out all night long. He knew. He had probably gone, hey, I got one other hot spot. One other hot spot that we're going to go and check. And then no fish. And go to another hot spot. No fish. Couldn't find any fish. He knew that Jesus had performed a miracle. And he came face to face with who Jesus was and who he really was when he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Though for months he had known Jesus as Savior, now what does he refer to Jesus as? Lord. Lord. Then in verse 10, we have the Lord's calling on Simon Peter's life. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now that word henceforth reveals a change that is about to take place in Peter's life. Up until this point, Peter caught fish, but from this point forward, he would catch men. Now, notice in verse 11 that Peter's response was immediate obedience. As a matter of fact, this would be the moment when James and also John were also called into the ministry, because verse 11 says they. It doesn't just say he forsook his nets. It says they forsook all and followed him. The late Dr. Lee Robertson, who was pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, he also founded Tennessee Temple University, where my wife and I graduated from. Whenever he spoke one time in chapel there, he talked about God's calling upon his life and how he had felt that tug to go into full-time ministry as a preacher. He had walked the aisle, given his heart and his life to the Lord. And the pastor at the end of the service had Dr. Robertson to stand down front, and he invited the church people, it was a small church, invited them to come by and to congratulate Dr. Lee Robertson on, and at that time he wasn't called Dr. Lee Robertson, but to congratulate him upon God's calling upon his life. And he said while he was standing there, people came through and shook hands with him and told him God bless him and all. And he was a young man at that time. And he said one older man came by in the line, and whenever he took Dr. Robertson's hand, said he pulled him in close to where he got close to his ear. And he said, young man, he said, whenever I was young, God called me into the ministry, but I didn't surrender to that call. He said, I decided that is not what I want to do with my life. And he said, I have regretted it ever since. He said, if God has called you to preach, you better preach. And Dr. Robertson said he never, ever forgot the words of that man. Those were words of regret, words of sorrow, because he had not obeyed. He had not surrendered himself to God's calling upon his life. Well, Peter here, there is immediate obedience. There's not, hey, let me think about this for a week. Can I go back and talk with family first? Can I just give me a little time? No, no, no. What we see here is immediately Peter left what? His nets, his boats, his business, family, and all to follow Christ. Peter went from a comfortable existence of being a fisherman to following Jesus, who apparently had no income, and the Bible says nowhere to lay his head. You see, Peter was about to embark upon a journey that he knew nothing about. He really didn't. He didn't know about working with people and being a fisher of men. He was all about the boat and fishing industry and being out on the water. He was a rough, tough guy. He knew all about fishing for fish. But now he was going to be fishing for men. He would soon discover that there was one major difference. A fisherman catches that which is alive, but then soon after dies, right? You catch a fish, and eventually it dies. But the soul winner catches a person who is spiritually dead, but then that person is made spiritually alive by faith in Christ. Big difference between the two. Number three. I got to hurry up here. I got 10 minutes. Peter's call was followed by ongoing lessons that needed to be learned. just because you're called into full-time ministry doesn't mean that you quit learning, right, Brother Archie? You continue to learn valuable lessons through the years. As a matter of fact, the longer that I am in full-time ministry, the more I realize that I still have a lot to learn, right? The longer you're doing this, the longer you pastor, the longer you're preaching, the longer you're serving the Lord, you realize, you know what? I don't know everything. I've got a lot of lessons that I still need to learn. Such was the case with Peter. He began to follow Jesus Christ and to be with Jesus Christ literally every waking moment. He went from part-time service to full-time service. And in that 3.5 years, he learned a lot about Jesus and he learned a lot about the ministry. I want us to look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, last portion of scripture we're going to look at. A little bit of a lengthy passage that I want to read. But I want to look at Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Because if you go back into verse 19 and 20, you have there the calling in Mark chapter 1. So we know, beginning in verse 21, that this was after Peter's calling, after James and John were called into the ministry. Now, look at verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And all were, and they were all amazed. Can I stop right there and say something? This was Peter's first full-time experience, incident, event, however you want to word it. I don't know about you, but I bet when it says here, and they were all amazed, Peter was one of them. Peter was used to being out on the boat, fishing, just dealing with the elements of the sea and the weather. And here he is with Jesus in the synagogue, and he's dealing with a tormented man that has an unclean spirit. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon. There he is, Simon and Andrew, his brother, with James and John. The four that were in what? Partnership together in the fishing business that they had. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers or different kinds of diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon, there we are again, the man that we're studying, and Simon Peter, and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And that's where I want to end the reading, all right? Because that's a lengthy portion of scripture. Four lessons that Peter learned. Four lessons. Number one, he learned that fishing for men would involve a struggle against the powers of spiritual darkness. You and I need to understand that the ministry here of Canton Baptist Temple and the evangelistic efforts of our church, even not only today, but all throughout this week, as you go out into the mission field this week, we need to understand that Satan does not like what we're doing. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 6 talks about how we don't fight flesh and bones, but we are dealing with what? The powers of darkness. And here we see in verses 21 to 28, there in the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. In other words, he was a demon-possessed man. And Peter was learning that fishing for men would require the power of Christ to defeat Satan and the forces of darkness. The longer I am in ministry, the more I realize that ministry cannot be done in human effort and human ability. It's got to be done in the power of Christ. And Peter was learning that from the very outset, right after forsaking his boats, his nets, his business, and walking with Jesus. The next event, the synagogue, unclean spirit, and he realizes, I am not going to be able to do this in my own power. If I am supposed to be involved in ministry, it's going to take the power of Christ in order to accomplish that. Number two, he learned that fishing for men would require compassion and tenderness. Now, we see this in verses 29 through 31. Here we see that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Now, keep in mind again, Peter was what we would call a rough and tough fisherman. No doubt Peter was a man with calloused hands. I mean, he dealt with ropes and nets, and he was a worker, a hands-on guy. But he would never forget the day when Jesus tenderly and with compassion took his mother-in-law's hand and healed her. By the way, little did he know that one day he too would touch people and heal people of fevers. He would lift the lame to walk. He would even restore the dead to life. Later, he would write in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, or be what? Sympathetic, be courteous. And so he writes those verses, rough and gruff Peter says, we need to be tender. We need to be compassionate. Often, the Lord sees the weak characteristics in our lives, and he works on those areas, curving us, shaping us, making us, conforming us into who we need to be. Peter would go on and on in his life and in his ministry, learning valuable lessons. Simon was becoming Peter. He had a long ways to go, but the process was beginning right here in Mark chapter 1. Number three. He learned that fishing for men involves seeing people as lost souls who need Jesus. We see this in verses 32 and 34. After Simon Peter's mother-in-law is healed of this fever, we know it is instant because she immediately gets up and she begins to serve. And before you know it, there's a crowd of people who have gathered there. And this crowd of people, the vast majority of them, are sick and they have diseases. They have all kinds of diseases. Every person had a burden. And behind every face was a hurting heart. And Peter was learning that people need the Lord. The ministry is about people. As we build the Family Life Center, and I know this is the first Sunday for the fence to go up, and many of you, as I said this morning, you lost your parking spot over there for a while, actually longer than a while, right? Permanently, the building's going up. And I just want to remind you, I'm excited. I really am. I'm very excited about the Family Life Center and what God's going to do. But we need to remember that the ministry is not about buildings, really. It's about people. It's about people, ministering to people. And that's what Peter was learning here. Peter was watching Jesus. Jesus had power over demonic beings. And then he turned around and he saw how tender and compassionate Jesus could be in healing his own mother-in-law. And then he realized that Jesus wasn't turning anybody away. People just started coming to the house, and Jesus was healing the sick, and he was casting other demons out of people. Peter was learning people need the Lord. In reality, the people don't need me. They need Jesus. That's what Peter was learning. Really, people didn't need Peter. They needed Peter's Jesus. Number four, he learned that fishing for men requires time spent in prayer. We see this in verses 35 through 39. It was a long night, a lot of people gathering that wanted help. Everybody had a burden. Everybody had a problem. Everybody they talked to had a need in their life. And they were all worn out. I think when the evening finally ended, they just sort of collapsed, you know. They were worn out from ministry. And then the next morning, Peter and the disciples, they wake up and they begin to look for Jesus. Where did Jesus go? Why were they looking for Jesus? Well, the Bible says that people were already there early in the morning looking for Jesus at the door. They had heard about what happened the night before. And they said, we're here. We're here to see Jesus. Where is Jesus, this man who heals people of all kinds of diseases? So Peter and the disciples, they go looking for Jesus. And they find him all alone in a solitary place, the Bible says, spending time with God the Father in prayer. Jesus was about to take his disciples on what we call a fishing expedition. That is for men in other towns. That's what he tells Simon and the disciples. He said, we've got others that need to hear what I have to say in other towns. And he knew in order to humanly have the strength that he needed for the day of ministry ahead of him, Jesus had to rise up early and he had to spend time with God the Father in prayer. Did Peter learn that lesson well? Yes, he did. Because if you remember before Pentecost, before what we read about in Acts chapter 2, there is Acts chapter 1. And he and 120 brethren were praying in the upper room. Right? There they were. They were gathered. They were waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, and they were praying there in the upper room. So before the greatest catch of his life, that is 3,000 souls getting saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost, Peter is spending time in prayer. There's a lot that we're going to learn about here in the story about Simon Peter, but let me just close this lesson tonight with this thought. I want to say that whether you are in full-time ministry or whether you are a layperson right here in this local church, God still wants us to be fully committed and fully devoted to Him. It doesn't matter whether you're like me, the senior pastor of Canton Baptist Temple, or whether you are working a secular job and serving the Lord right here in this church. All of us are called to be faithful. All of us are called to be committed followers of Christ. And so as we study Simon Peter, we're going to learn a lot about how we are really like him in a lot of different ways. Simon Peter, we looked at his conversion and we've looked at his call. Next week, we have the This Hope concert in the main auditorium, all right?
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.